come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. You found us. Once again on the internet, we're coming to take over your world. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play.
Oh, is that new?
That is new. And tune in everywhere. Basically, hey, what we want you to do is go to one of these fine programs, click the subscribe button, or maybe you have already, click the like button. Give us some love.
Talk about us. Write a review.
That's right.
Give a comment.
Keep the Freak Show family going.
And if you tell you suck right back.
This is true.
That's what we do to our fans.
Yeah. And if you want to reach out and talk to us, you can get a hold of us on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. On Twitter, we're Sat Freak Show. And you can get a hold of us via email, SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
I liked it better when you were at Sat Freak Showing the Twitter because it sounds cooler.
You want me to do that?
Yeah, I like at Sat Freak Show. Again. That sounds better.
At Sat Freak Show on Twitter. So these are the internet radio superstars.
Travis.
Sean.
Michaela.
And I'm Colin, and tonight we watched a movie chosen by
Colin,
and it was called The Monster Squad.
Whoa.
From the year 1987, and it's directed by a fellow named Fred Decker. What else did Fred Decker do on the Freak Show? This is terrible.
That's why you're here, Colin.
This is Fred two episodes ago.
You chose him.
He wrote House.
Oh, well, no, the story. He didn't write House. The story was credited. But yeah. I get it.
Fred Decker, I think, made two unheralded movies, underrated movies from the 1980s. He did The Monster Squad in 87. And before that, in 86, he did a movie called Night of the Creeps, which if you haven't seen that, you got to go check it out.
That's the popular one.
Is that popular?
I mean, amongst like, I think it's more popular than Monster Squad.
You'd be surprised. They've had screenings of this where like people line up around the block and like
we know today how people like to like the horror movies that no one like Halloween 3 and Troll 2. People just like to like the
some people love this movie, Travis.
I get it.
Some
I get
people
it.
Love it.
I get it. Well, I've always said you fall into three categories. You're either a Goonie, an Explorer, or a Monster Squad. Now I'm taking away Monster Squad because Goonies and Explorers to me have more heart.
Oh, see, I was on the other camp. I couldn't stand like the Goonies because it was
that explains
pirates.
Why I love this movie.
Yeah, because I was the monster kid. I mean, like this one spoke to me where Goonies and Pirates really didn't. Explorers was the sci-fi one.
You're still kind of a
I never actually saw it.
You're still kind of
you never saw Explorers?
No.
Oh, it's magical.
I think I've seen it once.
It's coming to the Freak Show.
But we're also saying that possibly to fully appreciate these movies, you need to be 12 years old.
Well, definitely.
I mean,
it would impact you more, definitely. Like, I feel like if I would have seen this when I was under 18, even, it would have had some sort of lasting impact. I would have definitely preferred this to Goonies as a kid, definitely. If I would have seen this and had the option to see both this and Goonies, I would have definitely taken this over Goonies, just for the monsters, if nothing else.
Well, I think Travis is right, though. It does fall into, like, you're either...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Explorers is new to, you know, the argument that you threw it in. I usually hear it's either Goonies or... The Monster Squad, but when you think about those, at least, well, you'll have to help me out. Is Explorers, does it also follow basically the same story pattern? It's both like Monster Squad and Goonies to me are like virtually the same movie.
Yeah, essentially at their core, they're the same movie. Definitely.
It's just got better editing.
Because you've got, I mean, like I keep thinking of, what was the Sloth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is basically his
Frankenstein.
But that is these guys copying Goonies. That's not like these guys have like.
Was Goonies 84?
Goonies was like
85. Feels like it was 85.
But like, I think the reason why this movie doesn't stand out the way Goonies and Explorers does is like.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, shit.
But define standing out. Oh, you mean just in popular like, culture.
Fans, popular culture. It's because this movie is talking down to its audience, where Goonies and Explorer has kids that maybe act a little older for their age or a little bit, you know, more like hardcore or whatever the hell. You know, they curse or they might smoke a cigarette or something like that. But that was showing how, like, well, kids are kind of like adults, too, when they're around each other. This movie, I think, is talking down to that audience. I think if you are 12 or whatever, it's being like, here's some monsters. Here's a movie just like The Goonies. Like, I don't think it has this. It's missing that heart to me because it is just trying to, like, we're going to do a Ghostbusters, Goonies with monsters. And what monsters can we get? Well, we can't do Freddy or Jason or Michael or whatever. I mean, well, we can't do Creature in the Black Lagoon. That's owned by Universal. I mean, we'll do the old, like, 50s monster, the 40s monster guys.
But those are all owned by Universal, too, so we have to...
But they're public domain.
Yeah.
So you can use Dracula, Frankenstein. They just call it Mummy. They don't say the name of the mummy. They don't say, you know... Yeah.
But they get the Gillman in there, too.
Gillman. And just wolf, and just a werewolf. They don't say... It's not the wolf man. It's not Larry Talbot. It's just a wolf man.
Which one? So, I mean, but again, I think that is it... Based on which one you saw first, because I saw this one first. I thought it did have the heart that you're talking about because it has the relationship between the little girl and the Frankenstein monster. And, you know, it's like every 80s movie has to end with the supernatural hero or whatever. I guess it's the side character, but the hero being sucked off into, you know, something and having to say goodbye with the touching swell of, you know, the 80s full orchestra behind it, right? E.T. and the Neverending Story. And
The scene that struck me is where I was like, oh, this is talking down its audience is when, well, I mean, we'll get to the facts later, but when they're talking to the scary German guy and he says that word and then that kid says to the other kids, that means this. I'm just like, oh, I see. These are, you know, we're talking to dumb kids here. We got to, like, have one of the characters turn to the other kids and be like, that means this. Like, it was just, it was fucking stupid. Like, Goonies and Explorers doesn't have that talk down to the audience. You know, they don't have, like, let me tell you what a word means, kids.
Oh.
You know?
Maybe.
You have one of your kid characters doing that to your audience in this. Like, you're too dumb.
I know what you're talking about.
And just like, the basic story of this is, like, I mean, the kids, I mean, they have all those characters down. They got the kids, they got this town, you know, they got a cop dad, you got... But then, like, I think the actual monster story is not, like, I mean, that seems like something they shot, like, in a day with just, like, we just need Dracula by swamp. He just, and, like, lightning crashes. It's like there's no reason for any of it. You know what I mean? It's like shit just happens. Why does it happen in this town? Why does the creature from the Black Lagoon know about it? Or who sent him to steal Frankenstein? When did Dracula... You know, it's just like...
Right, the coming together story at the beginning is a little like, well, okay.
I actually got really hung up on that because, like, the like wolf-headed club that Dracula had, like, which is clearly a reference to the original Wolfman, but I was like, wait, so this can do whatever he wants it to do? Like, especially, what's the mythology and the magic behind this? Right. Like, because there isn't any.
No, it's Frank Tegger's like, it's for dumb kids.
It's magic of convenience to Dracula when he needs it. I was like, wait.
When he starts getting the casket out of the water, I'm just like, why can he do that? Yeah. I've never seen.
They don't even explain, like, the beginning of the movie has a scroll that tells you about, like, all Dracula and darkness and how Van Helsing is stopping them and they blew it. You know, it was really funny. That should have, like, came, like, after that, the backlash scene to, like, you know, that'd be funny if we saw the backlash scene, then the scroll of they
like,
blew
or
it.
Or even if, like, the scroll stopped. They did the whole flashback scene. You cut back to the scroll, and then it moves up real quick, and it just goes, they blew it. You something know, like that.
Well, I have, like, a thing against, like, any time a movie has to tell you at the beginning what the movie's actually about.
Yeah.
And then, like, then they go and dramatize the scene that they just told you about.
Right.
The
what if there was more that they couldn't afford, or they couldn't, because clearly it's just like, you don't see how they blow it, quote unquote.
Right, but,
you know,
right.
You just see a vortex open or whatever, then the movie starts.
Yes, I also don't understand that scene. In, like, you get it later in what they're supposed to do, but just as an opening to the movie, I don't understand what's going on. Is the vortex good or bad? Did they want this? Like, well, there's nothing there to get sucked up, really.
Yeah, because I don't think you even see Van Helsing.
No, you don't.
Sucked up at the end of the because they just cut away from it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they cut away from it.
It's just two guys on a plane, like, we're flying dead people or something. And then, like, Dracula appears. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, how did Dracula come back into play?
Well, it's the, I mean, just for the point of convenience, right? They come up with a plot that's, you know, like, what the monster plot is. Is that there's, okay, this is dumb, but it's like, it's kid stuff. It's like, yeah, you've got an amulet that represents, it's condensed. What is it? It was condensed. It's
pure good.
Good. And, pure every, good. And it's indestructible.
It's lazy, right?
Which I didn't get.
Every 100 years.
I thought it was evil at first, at right? Because why does Dracula have it in his possession? You know, when Van Helsing's
house.
No, but at the opening, when Van Helsing Dracula has the amulet or whatever it is, and
for safekeeping, man, if it's like gonna destroy you, somehow, but it's like,
so doesn't that mean Dracula could have like won what he's trying to do in this movie, like in
100 years ago?
That but is he didn't, like, but what happened?
They blew it.
He just didn't do anything.
Well,
but no, but if they blew it, then Dracula would have just like crushed whatever he was trying to do with that amulet. He would have just done if Van Helsing blew it. That's why this movie does not explain, like,
well, somehow
they had to somehow stop Dracula, but not permanently. And this movie does not bother with a story. Yeah. It's just like, we're on a plane with dead people.
The
There's
thing
a bat.
I got out of it was that the vortex opened and somehow sucked all of our 1800s protagonists into limbo. And so they weren't able to complete the ritual in some way.
Which looked like a vortex.
And Dracula wasn't home. So he couldn't crush the amulet because the amulet's only it can only be destroyed at the stroke of midnight once every 100 years.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
So that's why Dracula is back in play in 1987.
But they blow, like, I don't know. If they blow it, he's always been in play.
But he's going to, the forces of good have blown it, but Dracula wants to destroy the thing again. He only gets a chance every 100 years.
But so how this does is he like lose
him
it?
Coming
if,
to America?
Especially if Van Helsing gets sucked into the vortex, which you find out later. How did he bring the...
You're
I know, this movie is like... this is, I think,
logic
this is where
details.
It's like, I'll call my friend Shane Black.
Did we mention that? Shane Black co-wrote this movie with Fred Decker, but I think at this point Shane Black was like 18 years old, right?
Really?
I mean, he sold Lethal Weapon when he was like 21 or something like that. I mean, it was really, you know, he was one of those wunderkinds. Yeah,
the wunderkind,
the wunderkind,
the wunderkind,
wunderkind.
Yeah.
But okay, so you're saying this movie takes place in 87, the year it was released.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's debatable. I found the era confusing at best.
But like, some of it plays through the production design. It's like it's 87, but in like an alternate universe.
Where they're
it's
obsessed like, with the 50s still. There was a lot of 50s influence in this movie. That drive-in like restaurant they went to, straight up out of the 50s.
Yeah,
and like
they had the kid. Those places were still
No, it's true.
Around.
No, the nostalgia
kid had
still
rolled
existed.
Jeans.
Yeah.
Like the kid, the
way
Rudy,
Rory
or whatever his name was.
Rudy was dressed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like greaser head to toe. And like I get that like that kind of style, especially like with the punk influence of the time, was the style. But it was a little too on the nose for the 50s for me to believe it was like the 80s version
maybe
of that,
it's just like, it's
it
like
too
people
much.
Dressing like that.
Maybe
though.
It's like the like Hollywood what... thing where they just figured like the Midwest is like 30 years behind.
Right,
us.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
In California.
Yeah.
But you remember like the Outsiders in the 80s was like a thing. I mean like that.
Right,
50s,
but that movie took place in the 50s.
I know,
though.
But
oh, yeah,
I bet it was a thing in the 80s.
I went
like
to Misfits concerts where they dressed
the nostalgia
like
still
the,
existed yeah. for it, yeah. Definitely.
The greaser thing. Greaser punk. Because it's funny, actually, because 976 Evil, kind of the same thing, right? Yeah. The badass cousin character in 976 Evil is kind of greaser-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they just
maybe it's
know.
Just like shorthand for badass outsider.
Yeah, we need
know?
Shorthand.
Like,
yeah.
Was,
whatever.
Need a lot of shorthand. Marlon Brando.
That's
Rebel,
all. This whole movie shorthand.
Rebel, Wild
Boys. Cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve and
yeah,
yeah.
So we don't know if like. I mean, this is what stupid Dracula, like, no, like, when I get above this longitude, I'll be directly above Van Helsing's, like, old town and drop in there. It seemed like a mistake that he just woke up and dropped out of the plane. But then he's like, oh, boy, cool. I'm in the town Van Helsing
is
in.
This is I grant what you're saying, that this is all like
just say this shit's so important.
I don't think it is.
But like, that is a story of a movie. That
just,
shit, Goonies and Explorers
together
does not,
so that the kids will have monsters to fight.
Exactly, but Goonies and Explorers does not take such fucking leaps and bounds. They have logical storytelling. This is why I say this is the lesser of the version, where they just wanted to throw something together, make a buck off of these fucking type of movies. And I can feel it. in the movie.
I feel I the love. They had love.
You
for
just
it.
Like yeah. Busters. But so he likes the remake of Wolfman. He likes the remake of Wolfman.
Because it's awesome. Because they loved it. That's why they were trying
to do
it.
But I think they love those monsters. So they're just like, they took shortcuts to get them together.
Yeah.
But they just wanted to play with those monsters.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I think they had no other choice but those monsters. If they had a choice of use.
I like those monsters.
But one of the things with like the 80s is like you have this kind of like abbreviated storytelling where like this movie's what, 81 minutes long or something?
Like
82 minutes.
Crazy short, yeah.
Like, they do everything. Like, all the scenes are very, you know, like, truncated or something. There's a scene where, like, the kid, you know, Sean, our little protagonist, is sitting on the roof of his house looking at the drive-in movie theater with the binoculars. And his dad comes up, and they say, like, two lines to each other. And, like, the scene's over, and I'm like, that seemed really, you know,
like, what was the point?
Yeah, I mean, it was just to show, like, this father-son bonding moment, I guess. But, you know, it's like, in a modern movie, there'd be an actual scene there, you know? It's like, so, I guess, it feels like they had, by choice or something, you know, that they just said, we're going to tell, like, the shortest version of this as possible and just kind of, like, hit through all these beats. So, I mean, there's not really a whole lot of character development. It's basically, you know, just there to evoke this, you know, nostalgia for the monsters, the, you know, the coolness of being the kid who's able to stop the, you know, monster Armageddon or whatever.
I don't even get the, I mean, they don't even write the relationship between the kids because it's like, okay, you see, we find our first two characters, like in the principal's office, they got in trouble for drawing monsters. So you're like, okay, cool. These kids are Monster Squad kids, right? And then the next scene is, the fat kid, they call him, lovingly.
Fat kid.
Could never get away with that in a movie now.
No.
A character just exclusively called Fat Kid.
And and it's funny, like Goonies, you know, they sit like Chubbs. You know, they had nicknames, not just like, hey, fat person, you know.
But even his friends called him that. That was the weird thing. Like, even his friends were like, hey, fat kid.
Well, that's why I didn't understand how they're friends. That's my problem with this movie. It's because, like, okay, we see Horace get picked on by the older
brother
Arnold
from Wonder Years.
Years. That butthead.
Yeah.
And then the badass kid, is his name Rory? What's his name?
Rudy.
Rudy.
Which is not a badass name. Does not match.
Rudy. That's does why you not have to match. Learn to fight. So Rudy, like, screeches up on his bicycle.
Spike would have been better.
And he's just like,
he's got that awesome introduction.
He just
though,
tells him to leave him alone.
It is awesome.
Lighting the cigarette, you know, the match on the back
of his
heel.
That was a really cool scene.
And he just calls him Horace, right? Like they've met before or something.
Yeah, my friend
like that.
Horace. Yeah.
Then it seems like there should have been a scene where Horace and Rudy meet the other two kids, but they're not, there's not. There's just like a...
Well, there is. He takes him out and is like, hey, let Rudy just save me from these other kids.
But it
Let's
seems like Horace
club.
Doesn't really know those other two kids, too. It seems like they all kind of met. It doesn't,
I get the feeling that Horace has always been in the Monster Club. The question that I guess I always had is, like, why does Rudy want to be in the Monster Club? I mean, the only
where did
that,
Horace and Rudy meet? Where is the connection there? Just the idea. I mean,
Horace gives
if there was
Rudy
like a detention, or maybe if there was like a, I don't know.
It would have been better if like Rudy was like, nah, man, I don't want to join your club. I'm a loner. And they just like keep running into him throughout the thing. And finally joins them at the end to help fight the monsters. Like that would have been better rather than him just being like, can I be in your club?
If he's so cool, why does he want in their nerd club?
Yeah,
you know,
like he should be chasing tail or something. Yeah. Like
he should
that.
Join them at the end and be like, you know what? You guys are pretty cool.
You guys are pretty cool.
That's what his character
you want to smoke cigarettes?
Doing. Right. Yeah. There you go. Pack for all of you.
Well, that's the odd thing, too. It's like, it seems like Rudy, you know, because Rudy's like the older kid.
Rudy,
and he's
Rudy.
But then they say, oh, he's in middle school. Like, that's how much older he is. He's in middle school. Like, exactly.
But yeah, when he has, so he's like, you know, fawning over the next door neighbor who's always undressing in front of the window.
Directly in front of the window.
At 4:30 in the afternoon with all the lamps on, as if it was a night scene, right?
You guys didn't have neighbors like that?
It seemed like it was a night scene. It's not the 80s.
But when he actually gets a chance to, like, you know, because they have to recruit her to, you know,
she's the virgin to recite.
Well, we find out later that she's the
that
sister.
Yeah, but
we find out she's the sister of
one of the other, the little
like Sean's other like main buddy, I guess, who has a name.
Does he have a name?
I don't remember.
Sean's buddy,
Gary. I don't know.
It seems like they really stressed everyone else's name
there
except
was a
for
mummy
his.
In my closet.
Even the
guy, the other
one. Eugene,
right? Yeah,
Eugene, Pete. I know everybody's name except for like
the
one
the dog's name was Pete, right?
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah.
That was a very Little Rascals thing. I thought having the smaller kid with the dog. That was really funny.
The dog deserved like second billing in this movie. Like,
Yeah, once again, I mean, but that's, for no what,
that's
reason.
Where the thing actually works is those little moments where, like, you know, they're all putting their hands on top of each other's hands, you know, doing the, like, we're the Monster Squad, and the dog, like, puts his paw in there.
I loved the part where he unwrapped the mummy, like, helped unwrap it in the car. Was that was adorable. Yeah.
But what doesn't work is when the mummy's just in Eugene's closet for no reason. It's just like, Jesus, this movie's just doing things to
do it.
Yeah,
why was that?
Fucking
nonsense.
I didn't get
it at all. Like, why do we have this scene? Why is the mummy in his closet and walk away?
It was funny. That's it.
Yeah.
We don't need logic if we think it's entertaining because they're dumb fucking kids. That's why I don't like movies that treat its audience like it's retarded. Fucking retarded.
Yeah, that was a cool camera shot with the door opening and the mummy behind the dad, though. Like, that was a nice camera.
Just the fact that the dad. Cool. Yeah. Now, if your dad didn't see it, would you, like, literally, like, question your, like, you know, faculties? Would you be like,
he
what
his
the fuck?
Eyes covered through that.
That was. I mean, it was a funny scene, but.
But that's all it was.
You know, that's all it was.
That's why
it didn't
was
pay
created.
Off at all. No. Like,
no.
Yeah. No, just to have, like, the mummy and the. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why was the mummy there? He was already out of the house.
You're asking the wrong fucking question.
You're asking the right questions.
If this was any other child movie, you would be dogging it.
You're
just because there's fucking monsters in
it. It's because
this is my child.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like, he wasn't even a child when it came out. He was like 17 or something when it came out.
No, it was, I'll figure that out.
87.
14 years old.
14.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right? Is that right?
So still impressionable by something like this. Yeah.
Edge, like this just caught you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
you were the high end of the demographic.
That's what happened. It's like, you know, when you watch it, and I think that's maybe what you're saying, you can't watch it as an adult or can't have fun with
it. I couldn't even watch it as a kid, though. Mm-hmm.
And you were a monster kid. But the thing, it's like the stuff that actually did work for me, right? It's like, okay, so here you go. The stuff that actually works, and I'm saying that these are in little moments and scenes. The domestic drama between the mother and the father. The father's a cop, and he's always going out, so they're going to a marriage counselor.
Wives always hate cops.
But there's
why do they marry him?
There's a scene where she's putting the little girl to bed with the candle, whatever, and the little girl's like, are you going to yell at him? And she's like, honey, I love your father. And the little girl's like, what? I'm talking about... You know, Sean, are you going to yell at Sean for doing all this stuff? And I'm like, oh, that's like, you know, one of those moments that like works dramatically, at least to me, in this otherwise.
The drama works.
It's full of all these little moments.
Especially with the crazy German man guy. They leave the house for the first time. He's like, you know a lot about monsters. I guess that I do.
I didn't like that. That was too heavy.
Even Colin was like, oh, shit, real world.
I thought that was too
heavy. But that didn't end up meaning anything either.
No, it just like, we just got to remind you, don't forget.
It was a nice wink at the camera.
Don't be anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
If you don't like this movie, you're anti-Semitic.
The scene should have almost gone on where it starts his arm and then he leans and goes, because I'm Jewish.
Yes. They were Nazis. It was the Holocaust.
But it has also like a number of scenes where, like, you know, from tonight's viewing, everybody's favorite character was his little sister.
Phoebe, I don't know, she ends up befriending the teasing nickname.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
Phoebe the Phoebe.
Phoebe the Dweeb.
Well, I mean, they've got, you know, what, Fat Kid and Phoebe the Phoebe. And they treat her so horrible too. You know, it's like there's no, you know, like Sean hates his sister. Is what it seems
unwarranted, completely unwarranted.
He's supposed to.
Is that what you're supposed to do? I never had a little sister.
I know because I think that's how, you know, kids actually
are
more than they are that way in the movie. So that feels more genuine, I think. I mean, the fact that they swear and the fact that they do all the stuff that they do is like, you know,
I want to be a part of it.
They feel more like real kids. Yeah. But I think like her relationship with the Frankenstein monster is, you know, like touching, you know, and I think that so it's like some of the relationship stuff, even though I can't explain. Right. Why Rudy wants to join the Monster Squad.
Right.
Or why, like, Frankenstein is not controlled the way the Wolfman and the Creature and like all them
is
have
too
like
dumb
some sort
to
of magic
controlled?
Control,
he's
but somehow Frankenstein isn't. Right.
Like, because he's inherently good or childlike. I think it's probably the thing. Probably. He is a child in his mind, so he...
But they could like lead to that. I don't know. Right. They could like give us like, some clue.
Or they could have done the scene but have him not throw her in the water. Like that
yeah, because it was
like,
nice when they were like when they were looking back at that when they were recreating the scene
did,
of the little girl
they
from Bride
to the
of
shot
Frankenstein.
And you automatically know what is what
oh,
they're
shit.
Going
she's
for.
Throw him in.
And they should have done more to that rather than just pulling out in. From a tree. I think like that would have gone farther to showing that the what you think the Frankenstein is going to be to what he actually is, mm-hmm. instead of him just being pulled
it just turns it like, God, let's put him in the club.
Yeah.
And that's Tom Noonan under all that yep. makeup. Tom Noonan's like the, one of the scariest serial killers in movie history in the movie Manhunter. But here he's like this gentle soul Frankenstein.
He's also he was in another good Shane Black movie. Anybody? Anybody?
I don't like Shane
Wait
Black.
For it. Wait Anybody? For it.
Come on. We can't have dead air.
I don't
Last
like Shane
Action
Black.
Hero. It's the Ripper.
Yeah. No one likes that movie.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
no. It's horrible.
It is horrible. That's horrible, my sentiment exact.
It's a good time.
Yeah, anyway. I don't know. Like, I love monsters, but I need story first, not just monster. Like, I just need a story. Well, just some story.
But it's going
kids are not that dumb. I was a kid. I like a story. I don't want to be like, okay, this is happening now. This is happening. This is happening. I get it. These kids curse and smoke, but I need a little bit more.
Yeah. Other than just the, hey, we've got the basics of something to have them here so that
we can have monsters.
But it also,
kids will
I
like
think
this just
because like,
they're the,
but it's,
you know,
and this is the thing where it's probably not working, you know, with its intended audience and why it didn't end up becoming like a box office thing. It's like the writers of this movie are affectionate for the movies of the 30s and the 40s. They've seen all of those. And so some of this is like, has that stuff already happened? Because in this movie, monsters obviously exist. Like, they're part of history. The whole thing of Dracula going back to, you know, this alternate universe where, you know, this where this place takes place. You know, there's like the southern Spanish moss trees and the big southern mansion where, you know, the amulet is kept and that Dracula ends up moving into this house. I'm like, is that supposed to be like he's coming back here because he used to own it in Son of Frankenstein? Right? Like, or not Son of Frankenstein, Son of Dracula. Like, he was there already. If the other movies have already happened, that is like the background of the story, kind of, that they're just like assuming that all of that's already taken place and we're just building off of that. But it's like the 12-year-old audience hasn't seen any of those movies. So that's where it's not going to connect with them.
Well, but I think even kids, like, I mean, I don't
that's
think
assuming that this is a sequel, basically, late 80s, then, right, to the Universal Monsters.
I don't think late 80s kids were into the Universal Monsters. I mean, I remember being into one when I was a kid. I mean,
that's why you were older and liked it, because you were...
But I remember, like, you know, there would be, well, I mean, there was, like, you know, Frankenstein Halloween masks.
Yeah.
There's always Frankenstein Halloween.
But they weren't scary.
I remember, like, the model kits and stuff like that you could get that were Frankenstein.
But they were, like,
you
know, Halloween
guys. You couldn't
guys.
Go get, like, the Freddy or Jason toys. There weren't any.
Yeah.
Like, the toys that you got if you wanted horror stuff was, like, Frankenstein, Dracula, and the Wolfman. And
like,
the
I remember being scared by Dracula and shit probably up until I was, like, 3 or 4. But, you know, after that, you're like, well, they become cartoon characters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
because I never had a scary relationship with any of those characters.
A scary relationship.
Yeah. It's always been fun.
I saw the Frank Langella version of Dracula, the 79 one, like, when I was, like, 10 or something. And that movie had, like, some shock moments that, like, you know, worked, right? You know, on a 10-year-old. I assume they did. The movie was rated R or whatever when it came out in theater, so I'm sure it was working on audiences, but, you know, the vampires at that point, to me, were like, oh, vampires are spooky, scary, and they're, you know, and then, like, in subsequent movies, they just become like, hey, we are becoming vampires. That's not really so bad, and, you know, and then you have a whole a movie where everybody in the cast is a vampire. Yeah.
It's like Uncle Sam pictures, but he's got teeth coming out. It's like, I don't want you.
Do we know, is this movie like the result of a passion project for anyone? Because it would make a lot of sense if someone grew up loving these movies and wanted to like give it to another generation.
Yeah, I think that's
like Fred I think Decker. That would actually justify a lot of things.
But that's, I mean, you know, I think that's Fred Decker on the basis of this and Night of the Creeps, where Night of the Creeps, you know, I always
it's
see
like
these
Atomic
as like
Monster.
Yeah, it's the 50s, you know, because he's going for like 50s monster movies, 50s sci-fi, you know, I mean, there's a scene that takes place in the 50s.
Maybe
you know,
maybe the retro thing wasn't really for, I mean, the retro thing of the 30s monster movies was the 70s and 60s when they were being played on TV. That was the retro tribe, not the late 80s.
But that's when all these kids, because that's why I'm like, Fred Decker and Shane Black were younger guys. They they weren't alive in the 50s to actually see those movies when they were new. They grew up with them on TV.
Yeah.
And then like when they were in their 20s or, you know, early 30s in the 80s, that's when they made their movies.
Yeah. Because as soon as people saw Jason and Pinhead, people quit talking about Frankenstein and Dracula, you know, they're just automatically like, oh no.
I got to wonder if this was like somebody's passion project that was in a desk for like 10 years before it finally got made sort of thing. And that's why it's late to everything and why, you know, it feels like it's a cash grab when really it's a passion project. Sometimes those two things can seem similar.
Or we have this script. Let's put the monsters in it. And maybe it's just different elements coming together.
It's like, hey, let's resurrect the monsters because they haven't been on screen.
I'm sure it was Goonies. Goonies had a video game. I mean, Goonies was like popping off, you know.
Well, it's like it's a boys' adventure movie, right? Yeah. Ultimately, it's like we, you know, kind of E.T. is a boys' adventure movie. But like, I think, you know, even, you know, knowing what we know of Shane Black now, he's a reader, right? I mean, you know, so it's like there's a offhanded reference to the Hardy Boys. And right when they said that, I'm like, oh shit, like this is like a Hardy Boys mystery where you got to go to the house and like the dad's a cop and like they're the fucking Hardy Boys, except he's got, you know, a couple extra friends with him.
Yeah.
You know?
And Frankenstein in tow.
Yeah. It just makes it all the more fantastic.
So I know they couldn't like straight up do the Universal Monsters for like copyright reasons, but did you feel like the quality of the design of the monsters was good? The quality was good, but I felt like the designs kind of looked like when you get like Chinese knockoff toys of a really popular movie, like just slightly off a little bit.
Just
a little off.
Frankenman.
Dragon.
Well, I guess so we got to talk about each one of them and how they represent them here, right? Yes. So we're saying that the Stan Winston studios, well, he's credited at the beginning as monster design. And then in the credits, it breaks down like who on his crew is responsible for actually generating each one of those.
Tom Woodruff, Alec Gillis.
Yeah.
All these Steve Wang, the Steve creature, Wang, creator of the Predator, guy
from monster
movies.
Makers on this.
Yep. So, okay, you start at the top. You got Dracula. His appearance here is
really legal? Subpar.
Very
like... Is that a Halloween costume of Dracula?
Yeah.
Well, it's Party the, City costume. Yeah.
Who's the worst movie Dracula you've ever seen? Because I got one
the
worse.
Spanish original, the 1939 Spanish Dracula.
Carlos Villarias
is the worst.
No, that it
looks
sounds
like,
bad.
It looks like Mel Brooks as Dracula.
Does that movie exist? Did Mel Brooks ever do Dracula? Because I'd watch that.
Yeah, Dracula didn't love it.
Right? I mean, as Mel Brooks as Dracula. That's what I want to see, a little Jewish Dracula.
Van Helsing, though, with Richard Roxburgh as Dracula. I'm going to say that one tops this one as being the worst cinematic Dracula.
Dracula from Dracula versus Seven Brothers. That's a really bad Dracula. Dracula with a mustache is a bad Dracula.
Christopher Lee did that once. But yeah, so this design is like the, it's like it's Bela Lugosi, but taller in color. So like you actually get to see this red, you know, his cape interior is red.
His cape has like Batman-esque like bat.
Scallops.
Like, yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, let's see his allegiance.
I want it to look like a bat wing. I turn into a bat, damn it.
He's not literal enough.
Yeah, right. I don't think they're going to get it.
I want them to know.
More stuff.
So we're saying that that's not the definitive.
And why wouldn't
Dracula.
You, like, I don't know.
No.
If I was Monster
Squad. That actor was poor man's Michael Fassbender, too.
Duncan Rager. Well, he's not given really anything to do except
he's not.
Although that scene at the end where he yells at the little girl, and I think it's just because he picks up this,
they
like,
give him the red eyes.
Girl, and he's like, give me the amulet, you bitch. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Where was that?
Yeah.
That would have been better. You four-year-old
you
bitch. Give me the amulet.
Yeah.
Come on, Colin. Where's your accent that we've heard so much about?
Your Romanian. Drink your blood.
Your Italian, Romanian.
Hello, I am Dracula.
Hello.
It's the Polish Dracula.
Hello, I am Dracula.
All right, next one on the totem pole then is the Frankenstein monster. So
they did
the
what
redesign
they could.
Here, because you can't have the bolts on the neck.
Can't have
flat
top.
Head,
Oh, the round head just looked so wrong to me for some reason.
It was a round head, wasn't it?
All of them except for the Universal movie.
Oh, yeah.
Had brown skin instead of green.
Yeah, it's always brown.
I mean, try everything to... Get it away, which sucks because I was
stitches
like,
stitches around the forehead, and he's got the clamps on the in his temple.
That makes me mad because if he's the real Frankenstein, not the movie Frankenstein, if he's a real Frankenstein, he should be smart. You know what I mean? He should be smart. The old man already taught him how to speak and all this shit. If it's all real,
from the book, but this is sequels to the movies.
I like how
even in the movies. Even in the movies, the old man taught him smoke.
But
good.
Yeah, I know. Thought they should have continued that in Son of Frankenstein, but they forget about it
because they didn't want to pay
Cut all his lines off. Like, he's an idiot in the whatever the Ghost of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. But then he said a brain transplant or something. Whatever.
Yeah, Lord, the continuity, my God.
It's pretty great.
Keep saying the first interconnected cinematic universe was the Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
I do like how they resurrected him, though. That was kind of nice. The portable resurrection staff.
I don't know how the
staff
man,
that can do anything you wanted to like, when you need it to. Yes.
Because he's the Gill Man. He's not the Creature from the Black Lagoon. That's universal copyright. So he's the Gill Man or the Creature or
they call him the Creature.
So this is like a design that kind of looks like, I know you were saying the Zoonoids from MacGyver.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because of Steve Wang. But to me, like when I saw that when I was younger, the thing I equated it with was the Predator. And I don't know why. I mean, it's the oversized head and the,
and the jaws. But if you put like that netting over that costume, it's pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. The skin tone, it's kind of a little white and green.
Steve Wang makes the best reptile skin in Hollywood.
It's kind of nice.
But the only problem with this is like, that's a pretty decent, Gillman.
Oh, yeah.
But when you compare it to the original Gillman from the Creature from the Black Lagoon, like that fucking costume today, when you watch it, still holds up. I think it's like
they did it well.
You could have that thing in a movie today, and it would probably look. You know, I mean, I guess
the eyes were kind of big, kind of cartoonish to make it not so scary. In this one, yeah, for sure. The eyes were kind of big. You know, very kind of cartoonish.
Yeah, it's so got it more, of, way it's more, got more scary. Of a fishy head. Well, I suppose the fishy. Other one does too. The other one has like the fishy jaws. This one has like the fishy eyes. Mm. Yeah,
I wish he would have had more screen time though, because I found him more interesting than the other three.
Yeah,
He had nothing to do.
No, he stayed in the water.
I mean, all the creatures had nothing to do. The monsters had nothing to do. They didn't even kill people. They just like snuck into closets for a funny scene and didn't do anything.
All of it is set up for the final.
We've got Wolfman.
It's already 82 movies. 82 movies. Minutes.
The best Wolfman I've seen in a while. I do that just to needle count.
Yeah, I know. Because obviously, listeners, if the Oscar winning makeup for The Wolfman is right here on my wall.
That doesn't make it a good movie.
I'm just saying.
Plenty of horrible movies have won Oscars.
He just loves monsters so much. Blindly loves monsters.
This Wolfman, I suggest to you, is more based on the Oliver Reed Curse of the Werewolf design because he's got the torn white shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And puffy the bigger, chest. Yeah, bigger puffy chest,
which kind of like limits his movement, makes him weird.
He had weird body proportions.
He's got
like
huge
crazy
upper,
proportions. Yeah,
huge upper and then just the regular legs.
Yeah,
that's why I never liked
Oliver Reed.
And his elbows are stuck to the side of his body.
And his face was way too small for his head.
Right,
his face was so small. Kind
of well, I think that's the problem, even with the modern remake, is like I don't think the Oscar winning makeup. That's right. It was just one of those Oscars they give to people because they deserved it forever ago. You know it.
I know
they deserved it for American Werewolf in London. So
I have to say, I really did enjoy that movie though. I like the Wolfman.
There's
remake.
Another one.
This one.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. I sit here like all the time.
I thought Del Toro was great.
Yep. There you go. Bam.
Everybody else was a little too much, a little over the top.
Writers, please.
I was going to make a plea to the listeners.
Please listen
to this movie.
My point is, a Wolfman is not supposed to look like a bipedal wolf. You know what I mean? You can have either or. You can have a Wolfman
or a werewolf.
You can have a bipedal. I just think there is a difference, and I think they look weird when you try to do the normal mannish looking body with a weird, you know, head. It always looks fucking stupid.
I did like how they did the transformation scenes, not just for the Wolfman in this, but they did one earlier on with Dracula, with the bat stuff.
Those are all awesome.
The cuts were good. Like, earlier in the movie, I think I mentioned it, like, they did three cuts, and it was a better transformation than I've seen in some things.
Yeah, it was like you bat see to Dracula. The bat, and you kind of pan around it a little bit, see its face, and then you see it flap its wings, which becomes, in a cut, the hand, which shrinks in one shot. And then the next
reaches up.
It reaches up, and on that shot, it's a human hand with just a lot of hair on it. Then it lets go of the beam, and then we see the hand land on the ground, and now it's actually Dracula, and he somehow. The way that like his suit always appears with him whenever
they pop in and out of existence when he needs them to.
Is that what's happening, or is it cellularly like generating over the top? Like that's just part of his because it goes
like
invisible in the mirror, even though it's
And also, when they first showed Dracula, my favorite thing. Like a sort of little details or set designs is the fucking bats. I love those bats.
The bats.
Because, yes.
Because it's a nostalgia thing. That's why it works.
It's so good. Like, they did the really good version of it, too. Oh, I loved it. That was my favorite.
The bats on poles.
Yeah,
basically, it's the bats on poles. Imagine some operator off screen.
Oh, those are great. Actually, with the red eyes. Love it.
I thought the cold open was one of the most interesting parts of this movie. Like,
it starts with a bang.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
You don't really know what's happening, but it starts with a bang.
But there should have been a Monster Squad song right at the beginning with the title, Monster Squad.
And then go over the school like, doom.
Monster Squad, you know, and like they're in the school and stuff like that. Right. That's how you start an 80s movie.
Yeah.
There was definitely not enough montages in this movie.
Right. Only one
in an 80s movie. That's crazy.
Wait, what was the song with that?
Well, there was an original song they did called like Dance to My Heart.
You drop? Or no, what like was that. It? Rock Until You Drop?
Yeah.
Till your heart brains fall out or some shit.
Yeah. That was good.
That was pretty good.
I like that one.
And they had a really cheesy, like, well, we got to do a Ghostbusters, Monster Squad theme.
Yeah.
Wait, did you know the Ghostbusters 2 didn't come out until 2 years after this? So did Ghostbusters 2 totally rip off the.
No.
Okay, there's a Ghostbusters theme from 84.
It doesn't rap.
Doesn't matter.
What are you talking about then? Oh, just because like
it. Just you need
titled
a,
just the
no, just
the Monster Squad.
No, just because you need a
Monster Squad, and it's like recapping the movie.
Because they're trying to capture the magic that happened with Ghostbusters at the end. So they're like, we need a Ghostbusters type
Hollies.
Of Monster Squad song.
What? Give me Holly's.
All right, it's on audio.
That's fine.
Holly,
I'm drinking your beer. Thank you.
We are drinking your
Sorry
beer.
You're in Florida.
This is a guy named Sean drinking your last beer.
I'm drinking your last beer. Bring more next time.
So
thank
the
you.
Other character then is the Mummy, which Mummy. I actually do think
That's
that
good,
this is maybe the definitive movie. Mummy to me.
Tales from the Dark Side is pretty good.
I like but, this one's face better. Because
yeah,
it's got like the
cool
cataract eye and underneath like it's a skull basically wrapped in bandages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like when it's walking away. It's like, you tell me it just walked out of here and it's like, shh.
Has nothing to do.
And it's also like designed as like very thin. So it looks like a bag of bones.
Yes.
Basically. I think maybe it's one of the thinnest movie mummies that I've ever seen.
It's definitely just being held together by those wrappings.
But the downside is that, you know, whenever you see a thin mummy, I think like, although I'm saying the design is cool for like, this is like a realistic fantasy mummy. Does that make any sense? Right.
Yeah.
But it also kind of takes the threat away because, like, the bigger dude mummy, you know, the Lon Chaney or the Tales from the Dark Side mummy, they're like,
but
it's a
that's
big
just,
imposing.
But that's
you
the
know,
director,
figure.
Right? Because you have a lot of kids and they're just seeing it from kind of a normal eye view, right? So that's on the director, really, showing, like, how scary
right.
the mummy
yeah. well,
is.
What's the
to
more
the kids.
Skeletal, you know, mummy? Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, another big problem before we, like, how does Dracula find out that the main character has Van Helsing's journal and that he's in a monster club?
Magic.
I don't give a
oh,
shit.
Oh, you can just...
Evil dark
dude,
magic.
Yeah, fuck you. Come on. Be real about your movie. Why don't you talk seriously about how this movie has no story. It just kind of looks into everything. There's just like a phone message.
No,
like,
but I agree
Dr.
with
Alucard.
All that. I agree with
well,
all that.
But
I'm
just, don't talk that... about... Well, I'm just saying let's talk about it, guy. We have to talk about it. We're not skating over that shit because... Because, like, this movie, because I was like, this is why the monsters had nothing to do, is because there should have been a scene where Dracula's like, get the, you know, he should have told all the monsters, get these kids, find
instead
out the
of,
journal.
Yeah, instead
that
of
way,
just Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Because that's their, well, I
and
mean,
maybe that was right. why the mummy was in the one closet. What if all the monsters take one kid to see if they have the journals? Like, that's a fucking story. I just wrote the goddamn story of Monster Squad.
That probably is what it was
and,
actually happening.
And then they're like, let's cut this story out.
Yeah. Because it's the 80s. We don't have
I need
time.
This cop drama. We need the cop drama for them to really care if they get back together again.
Yeah, you think that exists? His idea that just happened?
It has something
no
like that has to happen. Because it's like, how the fuck can they not... How can there not be a scene where Dracula finds out the kids have the journal and that they're going to go after it? How can you not have that? That's the really important scene in the movie. Especially when Dracula pulls up to the house and just blows up the clubhouse. It's like, what the fuck? How does he know this shit? How does he know that's their clubhouse? How's it? There's nothing to tell you this.
Well, I'll tell you, the only thing that you can... That you can draw from the movie is that there's like just they don't show you this, but there's dialogue that like the mom goes and somehow to an estate sale or garage sale and purchases the object of you know everyone's attention, the Abraham Van Helsing's diary at this old house on Sunnybrook Road or no, it's like Shadowbrook Road, right?
Yeah,
and somehow because of the sale. Dracula knows who has purchased it and calls.
Where's the scene where he's just checking receipts?
Yeah. Checks the receipts. He calls on the phone, leaves a message with mom that as Alucard, Mr. Alucard, he wants to purchase the book.
Son of Dracula with Lon Chaney Jr.
Yeah.
He was ducked. He was Alucard.
He was Alucard.
This, but I guess that's why maybe that in the whatever the like Southern General statue is like, you know, made me think that like, are they just, is this supposed to be in continuity with those movies? I'm just extrapolating this. I don't know if that's actually a thing.
Yeah.
So the creature from the Black Lagoon is like somehow summoned because these are like all the monsters and the dark forces of the earth. And they want to be there for this moment that they can destroy the amulet.
You wouldn't know that.
And I think that's stated in the crawl at the very beginning of the movie.
Oh, we forgot this really important scene.
That's why the crawl
hold
is
on,
there.
I'll write a quick story to put in the beginning of the movie. Yeah. Once upon a time, monsters.
Voiceover? Yeah. No, just put the words on the screen.
Yeah, go. I could have used a voiceover.
Right? Where's John Larroquette?
In the beginning. No, I'm once upon a time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like they like test screen this with a lot of audiences at like 2 hours long and just kept trimming it and trimming it until it got down to 82 minutes.
This is a shame.
Yeah. That has somehow fit it into so many screenings.
Does the Blu-ray have deleted scenes?
I don't know. It's been
and it's all time. The important plot points that you needed.
Yeah, it's all
needed.
The important
every single one.
I will grant you that as a Shane Black movie, this does not have the voice of Shane Black. There's a couple of
and it's not
jokes.
Christmas.
There are a couple of jokes. Oh, yeah. No Christmas. But we do get cops.
But it's not even Halloween either. I was like, what the fuck? Come on, guys. If Mummy's going to walk around in broad daylight, I need Halloween to be the season.
There's a scene that's reminiscent of the Halloween trick-or-treating sequence from E.T. where like all of them are, you know, the Frankenstein monster and the kids silhouetted walking into the sunset.
Yeah.
Like,
I would have loved
because
that.
Of that. I think it was like, wait, did it take place on Halloween? Because I remember that scene, but that's from E.T. Yeah. Oh,
could you imagine though if there was a scene where they like all the kids went trick or treating with the monsters and everyone's like, what great costumes? That would have been hilarious to like cut in like a montage
it's
of
like
them trick or treating.
Yeah. There's a Monster Squad remake that could be made here with all these.
With the story. Yeah. We can make a story.
We can almost just shoot extra scenes and put them in this movie.
Yeah, for sure. Call me TriStar, whoever owns the Decker.
Yeah,
we can help you out. We can do this.
But I mean, the only scene that I ever walked away that made me feel like I want to be part of the Monster Squad is when the three like mistresses of Dracula, or whatever you want to call them,
in white, which I think is a great visual. Like that whole little mini scene right there where he sees them; they're all walking down
the street from Gremlins.
Yeah, down the
from
street
from Back to the Future.
Yeah, everybody's just blowing in the wind. It's like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like they're trying to, they got the chick who they saw naked in the window, the one dude's
sister.
Who that was my point earlier. Rudy, when he has a chance to actually like flirt with the girl who he's hot on, like makes fun of her.
Yeah.
Like in two scenes, where you're like, what are you doing?
Because she's a preppy.
She was pointless. You know? Like her whole role in the movie ended up meaning nothing anyways. Yes. Like she,
it was a foil. It was kind of funny. Yeah. She doesn't want to admit she's not a virgin to her brother or whatever. Yeah, that doesn't count. That's funny.
Like, yeah, like
Steve
like,
doesn't count. That's so funny.
But what were you saying?
So yeah, they're going to the town, the middle of the town for the climactic vortex.
The climactic windstorm.
They get the sister who they think is a virgin that the old scary German is going to read from the Van Helsing's book to open the portal once again. And when those three mistresses, what do they call it? Are they called Dracula's mistresses?
Am I just the brides.
The brides, thank you. The brides of Dracula. Yes. And so Rudy, he's like, well, you know, I'll fucking take care of this. And they're like, no, Rudy, you're going to die. And he's like, I'm in this goddamn club, aren't I? I'm like, yeah, I want to be in the Monster Squad. Like, that's the only scene where I'm like, all right, because that's the only scene that has like any action in the whole movie. That's what's like, there should be a goal for the monsters. There should be a goal for the humans. It's like,
it's all nobody has anything to do. On this, like, yeah, I know. None of the monsters do until like at the end. The monsters are basically there to pop up out of sewers and basically attack.
But if they were
Wolfman has the person that he's attacking and there's only one way you can kill him. The creature shows up and there's only one way apparently you can kill him, which is by blasting him with a shotgun and horse.
It's almost like
"Hey, fat kid, thanks a lot. My name is Horace."
That was funny. Yeah, that was good. That was it's almost good. Like if they would have...
because of the cut-in that happens right, just, like right there on the... Yeah.
It's like if the mom would have bought the amulet with the book and every 100 years evil is attracted to it, that would have like given us like at least something for why these monsters are going after right. these kids.
Right. Or... like, I think they're coming for this. What do we do? How do we stop
yeah,
this?
It might be in the book. That out. Or some shit like that.
We need
like,
to find a German guy.
A German.
The Germans.
Just the idea that the mom found Van Helsing's diary at like a yard sale is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I mean, like, isn't he a fictional character?
Right. Well, that just reminds me of like there was a movie that came out like a year or two ago with Jennifer Lopez called The Boy Next Door.
Yeah.
And right. there's a part in it where like the boy next door buys her a first edition copy of the Iliad.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Like, what is that like Homer's throat? To, like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this movie should have ended and the Invisible Man should have showed up.
Oh, yeah. Where was that?
I know, right? Be like, "I heard you boys need help," or something like yeah. that. Roll credits or something.
You're right. That probably would have been
cool. That would have been cool.
He was. Yeah. That would have been good.
Yep.
It would've that would have led to some hijinks.
I'm telling you, Monster Squad, The Return, The Next Generation.
They could. There's potential in this.
There is a lot of potential. That's just like, I. That's why I think it was more of a money grab than like a love of old monster. I just think like it might be there, but it's like the surface. Like, if all that real heart was really there, they would have put it in the movie. It's
too
missing
much, too
from
much
the movie.
Cocaine, man.
Too well, much it's yeah. possible.
We gotta make that money.
It's possible that either you had the guys making it were so young that maybe. They, you know, or they had some bad advice,
maybe,
or you know, they were just like at that period of time, it's like just whittle it down to the.
Or the studio's like, "You're too young. You don't know what you're doing. We're gonna take this." And
because they weren't Shane Black and Fred Decker at that point. I mean, like, those guys have a bigger cachet now. I think both of them are working on the new Predator franchise is going to happen.
Yeah, they are.
With the huge, as Shane Black's directing and Fred Decker's writing.
I think so. And I'm sure he'll have input in the writing, obviously.
Yeah, and Fred Decker also did, real quick, he also directed RoboCop 3.
Oh, with the ninjas.
Yeah, and I think that was... Basically, after that, he fucking quit working. I mean, really? I don't know what, you know.
He does conventions now. I've seen him at a couple conventions,
Did he direct anything else, you know?
Not that I know of, no.
Doesn't he still write?
Shane Black probably bounces ideas off of him and they probably get together.
I think Fred Decker still writes. Probably. I could be wrong. Mm.
I do like how they dealt with the Wolfman later on in the movie. Especially what felt like a Shane Black joke when they're talking about how do you kill a werewolf at the beginning of the movie. They're like, silver bullets and a bomb. He falls out of a window onto a bomb, and then later on in the movie, it fucking happens.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That was great for me. Stick it in and then push him out the window, which is also a good effect. The explosion and then all the body parts and then coming back together. It would almost been better if you'd seen them come back together, but still pretty good.
And
I like
everybody
that.
Remembers the Wolfman's Got Nards thing, which like, it's not funny.
It's
like,
not.
It doesn't play
it's not. It falls so flat.
Like, that's the one thing I know
it's
with funny this
because you know that
it's on t-shirts and everything.
It's on t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's like, who likes that part?
Because
I kind of like the creature
been diluted
took
by
Twinkie.
The fact that
I
you've
that
seen
better.
It, you know, so many times.
Oh,
that's what's kind of
But I've only seen this like twice.
The product placement in this movie was out of control.
Adidas.
Burger King.
Adidas, Pepsi. Yeah, Burger King, Twinkies.
I want to take you back to a magical time called the 80s.
What are you talking about?
Films
Man
where
of Steel has, every superhero movie has
we figured out.
But, like, was this a...
Superman the movie was the first one that did it, right?
But,
like,
right, but this movie wasn't, like, a blockbuster by any means, right?
Like,
that's what's insane. That's what's crazy about
it. That's how you knew you were in the 80s. And that actually extends down into, like, even... when you read Stephen King stuff from that
name
era,
brands.
And maybe even now, but you know, he is using name brands all the time. Close Encounters, I remember being like one of the first movies that seemed like, you know, when they take the trucks that they're gonna go looking for the UFO, they're all with name brand
there
stuff.
Was,
it was just
always
like
a wide shot of it pulling away.
Yeah, the idea being, I think, that it somehow it makes it all more familiar to you because it looks like a recognizable world. But at the same
it's just
time,
not a recognizable
about, like,
world.
Yeah, this is a fantasy horror environment where, you know,
the kid's wearing an Adidas jacket. They fall into a stack of Adidas
those
boxes.
Stacks,
it's like,
those
God
boxes
damn.
Were stacked so nicely. Oh, yeah. And like two sides you could see the logo from. Like,
can we see it from both sides? I really think this
I can't even remember where they were at. It's like, why is
there some
like
nice
30
to
boxes
jacket
of
too.
Adidas right here for them to follow?
They were downtown and they ran into a warehouse.
The Adidas warehouse.
That's like Larry David has said with Seinfeld. Like, it's like people always like ask him, do you do product placement? He's like, no. He's like, I just write the joke how it sounds funniest. He was like, if I, instead of Junior Mints, if I put something else, it's not as funny. He's like, his Junior Mints is just such a random candy to pick. Right. So like for him, it's not even product placement. It's just what sounds hilarious. Or
when
you
have something else like the Morley cigarettes and the X-Files, it's like, right. It's obvious that like you couldn't, Marlboro didn't agree to this or right. Whatever, you know, it's like.
But sometimes I like that. Kevin Smith has red nails. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I like it when someone comes up with their own brand for their universe. It makes the even it makes their one, universe more real. Yeah, but Mubi.
But those don't. But the red apples. Mubi burger. Are right. They like the equivalent of the Marlboro? I mean, because the Marlboro red apples box looks like the Marlboro box. You know what I mean? Like,
Big Kahuna burger.
But yeah. What's that? What's that an analogy for? That's like in the world of like McDonald's and Burger King. There's also a Big Kahuna burger. It's not like. Big Kahuna Burger is the replacement but for
it's
McDonald's. Just,
but it's a little, I mean? But it's a little to us. It like it that's solidifies it right, their universe better if you if they make their own than just like Burger King, because then it feels like an advertisement, right. Which it probably is. It doesn't even feel like it is.
That new Hawaiian burger joint. Yeah, there's a lot of those around. You got to do the Jamaican burger joint. In our
Jamaican jerk burger.
Yummy. I just went down to Jamaican Jerk Burger and had this amazing.
Or just Jerk Burger. I'm going to write that
the
down.
Jerk
I
Burger.
I had the I&I, whatever burger. And that,
we're going to Jerk Burger. You want to go? Burgers. Oh, I love that. That just sounds good coming out of the mouth. That's jerk funny. Burger.
Jerk Burger.
Mm-hmm. Copyright 2016.
So, I mean.
Does that wrap up?
Is that it? Club? I mean, what else is there?
Say goodbye
really
to Frankenstein
mention?
As he rolls into the.
Yeah, world. There's kind of 80s
Ben Helsing comes out of nowhere.
I don't know.
In limbo.
They don't even show you come out. He's just like, in the next scene. You're like, okay, he's flying around.
But
now.
A lot of those shock moments that they do earlier with like the Wolfman actually work. But it's a consistency of like cutting in this movie. You know, it's like we're just gonna cut while the thing's already in progress. But the Wolfman, what I don't like about the makeup of the Wolfman, because it's obviously a big animatronic head. That's my problem with it.
On top of a guy. So
and the,
it's
the
so
eyes
obvious,
are
yeah.
like, you know,
disproportionate.
Just, you know, blank. But what I do like is the ferocity that the editing kind of gives him, because he's always like in action when it cuts to him. Like, you know, whenever he's like here and like, rah! And then cut, bam, he's crashing out of a phone booth or whatever. So I like the ferocity of it, but it's not even there in the performance, and it's not there in the makeup effects.
No. I still think he's my favorite monster out of all the monsters in this movie.
The Wolfman?
I think so.
I'm going to go with the mummy. Creature. Just because I like the design.
Oh. I like the design of the creature the best, definitely. Like, in the Universal Monsters world, the Wolfman's always going to be my favorite, but I just didn't like the way he looked in this movie. Like, that's in the weird. Way he moved, and I just... The scene where he was, like, in the ambulance or whatever, and it was, like, he started to transform under the blanket was really cool, but, like... That was 2 seconds of, you know.
Even the cut in the phone booth is actually pretty good.
Even the ripped up shirt is just like, once again, it's like, this feels like it's trying to be Victorian. And this isn't a Wolfman from the 1800s. You know, this is supposed to be some dude walking around as a Wolfman.
It wasn't a poofy shirt.
No.
Pirate shirt. It tried to be. It really did. It tried its best to be.
In this episode we've ever had.
So many Seinfeld. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't think in a movie in 2016 you could ever have, like, a child actor point to another child actor and say, is she a virgin?
Yeah.
Like, ever. Well, like,
what about faggot? They say like, faggot like three
and,
times.
And,
bad kids, all right? They're allowed
The good kids say the homos.
Yeah.
Like, twice in the opening scene, the homos.
Twas a different time.
I mean, totally
that's a running thing that Shane Black still does today.
Yeah.
Because the Nice Guys was set in the 70s.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, do we have any random stray final observations about the Monster Squad before we summon our mailman?
I think we're ready for Igor's.
All right, Igor, where are you, sir?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Thanks, Igor. You know, that's almost as bad as just not as calling it out, Colin.
I'm waiting.
Thanks.
Ha ha, funny Igor joke.
Funny Igor joke.
We'll get you next week.
All right. Well, I got like this much.
Jesus. Damn.
Yeah. So this was
we're
a good
popular
week.
Again.
So we've got two episodes we're going to talk about, our house episode and the Monster Squad episode. And John Shearer writes in on Facebook and says, Do a review of the movie Race with the Devil. Peter Fonda, late 70s movie. A good one for sure. So there you go. It's on our...
I've heard about this movie.
Yeah, it's bikers and they run into Satanists.
Yeah,
and
they
to...
chase them.
And, what if we do Drive Angry, John?
No.
Yes, no. Please do that.
I want to do that.
I love that movie.
Oh, damn it.
Like Nick Cage, Drive Angry?
Yes, yeah. Nick Cage, Amber Heard. Amber Heard. Yeah.
It seems very
Tom
similar.
Tom Atkins
is
in it
Patrick,
as well?
This is Patrick Lussier, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about his email.
Technically, the full title is Drive Angry, : shot in 3D.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
So... That's the full title.
So on our episode House, Karate Warrior 2. Okay, so I got to take you back in time. Karate Warrior 2 wrote in, at the time of House and said that he thought the movie was very bleak. And we were like, what in the hell are you talking about? He's like, Colin, I was ragging on House by the Cemetery, not House or Houseu.
Because
it's one of those Twitter mix-up where you're having a conversation with somebody and about another movie that also starts with House.
That was a personal conversation.
You guys got into a House-themed argument.
All talking about different movies.
Yeah. So he doesn't like House
by
the
Cemetery.
But I also
like House by the Cemetery, Karate Warrior, too.
That's okay, Karate Warrior.
Karate Warrior.
But I understand why you don't like it.
Chris Huddleston writes in and says, apologies if I've made this similar comment before, but I felt that cocaine... from executives to writers, directors, and stars led to many of the awesomely weird movies we got in the 80s, in much the same way weed and acid affected the music of the 60s and 70s.
Cocaine.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think we're
Look at any Stallone movie.
Yeah.
Over the top specifically.
Cocaine.
And specifically Maximum Overdrive. Yep. Joseph Daly writes in and says, do you like the Japanese House? I'm still torn on it. I haven't revisited it since I first bought it, but it's such a weird movie.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I think Sam Raimi got a lot of the first Evil Dead from House.
Definitely.
It's weird.
It's like it's worth a watch, but it's not good by any means. Like it's something that you watch to be like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah.
Like,
it is one of the weirdest things. I love the poster, the weird orange cat thing.
If you don't know what we're talking about, seriously, just watch the trailer. You will get enough of the weirdness from the trailer alone, to understand how bizarre it is.
But I'm going to go with we don't like House.
It's
not good.
Yeah.
Okay. Babette Georgie writes in and says, weird, this movie, House, and Saturday the 14th are always recalled at the same time in my brain. And Boycott Liberal Hollywood writes in and says, because
I like this guy.
I knew it. It's one of like Travis's. Okay, so I wrote on a Facebook post and said, how come Hollywood doesn't make, or why don't they make movies like this anymore referencing House? Because the House is a comedy horror movie and it's funny. And he says, he or she, because Hollywood's only role now is to be used as propaganda by the ruling elite. Entertainment for entertainment's sake has ceased to exist.
This is Babette.
No, this is
Boycott Liberal Hollywood.
Yeah.
This sounds like a
because it is pretty much true.
This is like the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper talking.
I know.
It's pretty much true, man. That's why I have a hard time watching modern day movies, because it's like I just see the message and it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Put forth an alternative just idea, because it may be right that that's the truth. But okay, Slither, which we would say is probably a movie that's entertainment for entertainment's sake.
Mm-hmm.
The budget on that movie, $15 million. The gross, $7 million. Drive Angry, a movie that we might say is maybe not a comedy movie or a comedy, but it's definitely an entertainment piece. Budget, $50 million. Domestic gross, $10
million. $50 million?
So, shot in 3D.
Yeah. So basically, Hollywood will make a movie if there is an audience for it, and there is no audience for the horror comedy except for like us.
Yeah.
Well, Cabin in the Woods was a pretty big hit.
It was a sleeper hit, I think. Like, especially because it was delayed for 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean people that like it either like it or don't like it. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those kind of middle of the road movies.
It definitely wasn't an accident. It got released the month before Avengers came out.
The tie-in Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
But yeah. If we go support these movies, well, they're not making them right now, but then they'd make more of them. But you go see Transformers 4.
Right.
Yeah,
they're going to make a Transformers.
I'm a strong believer in voting with your wallet.
But they're going to put their message in Transformers. That's what he's talking about. They're going to put the, like, you know, like, don't you think transgender should use our bathrooms? I mean, they're going to say that in Transformers because, like,
especially with the transgender trans like, that's going to be, like,
there you go.
Yo, Jesus.
That's where it is.
Just vote with your wallet.
So on the Monster Squad, Holly Holly writes in and says, I'm so bummed I won't be there for the Monster Squad. I've never seen it. I hope to hear from our listeners about it when I get back. Have fun. I miss you guys.
Thanks, Holly. Drink your beer.
Yeah. Jacob Contner writes in and says, love, 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 exclamation point for the Monster Squad. Loss writes in and says, I absolutely loved, in all caps, the Monster Squad. I used to watch it every year as a kid, and I look forward to it every year as an adult.
So Colin got on Twitter, made a bunch of fake accounts, and wrote into the freak show.
No, I bet other people write this about our movies. He just doesn't read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck those guys.
This is where they are having this reality check where, yes, people actually love the Monster Squad. Don't worry, folks.
You said the same thing about Halloween 3. I don't fucking believe you. I don't fucking believe you.
No, I said that. It's totally true. Love that movie.
I don't believe it.
And Dom Cree writes in possibly
twice.
Wait
a second. Yeah, I thought. Anyway. We'll talk about that later.
Dom Cree writes in and says, I loved watching this movie. The not-so-PC comments from the kids might upset a few people, but it captures exactly what kids are like, regardless of what people want to believe.
I think that's how adults are like now.
Yeah.
We're just, no one does it on TV. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And kids have always been that way. While a pretty basic story, it was a great old-school kids on an adventure movie that you wish they would still make these days. I say check out Stranger Things,
Super
right?
Super 8.
Agree.
Five ruptured wolf nards out of five. And yes, I guess that means that Wolfman do have five nards. Ha! Thanks for the awesome podcast. But I do have to ask if we get another Travis cover of the Monster Squad theme rap, like in the Ghostbusters.
I don't know it. I don't know it. I know it tells the story. Yes.
We're the Monster Squad.
We're the Monster Squad. We got paid $12 to record the song.
All right. Well, thanks for writing it. And again, folks, you can get us on at Sat Freak Show on Twitter.
We had a good, that was a good mailbag.
It was.
Facebook.com.
I'm kind of pissed at Dom, though. He stole my wrap up. Freak Show. He stole my Wolfnards out of Wolfnards.
Ruptured Wolfnards. Now you got to think of something.
No, I'm going to skip it.
Creature stealing Twinkies. I'll give it.
Well, we're going to do wrap ups next. Do you hear that sound?
Oh, my God.
That's the sound of our butler lurk. Here he comes.
Oh, Jesus. Don't make eye contact.
The hour has come, sirs.
All right, thank you, Lurk.
All right, so now it's time for the wrap-ups where we each get the sound off what we thought about the movie. I don't know how this is going to go, but starting with Travis.
Yeah, I just don't like this movie just because I've always liked the Wolfman and the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Those are my Universal guys. And it sucks that we can't really use Creature from the Black Lagoon in anything. Almost in any Halloween special, any sort. It's always some ripoff, like, generic Creature from the Black Lagoon. But more so, I just feel like the movie is... It's just trying to get some magic from the Goonies. I mean, I would say the Goonies even more than the Explorers. I'm sure even the Explorers is much like Monster Squad. It's more of a cult-like, like, huge fan following. But specifically Goonies. And I don't know if it's just because I think the modern day monsters like Leatherface, Pinhead, and I just think they would have been more prominent at this time. Or because, I mean, like, God, I might have even seen this as a kid and had a nightmare about it. I'm not positive. But I only remember Dracula and shit being scary when I was super little, like baby, like toddler little, you know? And then, because, I mean, come on. You know, some things are just too cartoony and, like, you know. And so, I don't know, this movie just never did it for me. I recognize how a lot of people really liked it. You know, the Wolfman's got nards, is on t-shirts and fucking beanies and shit, And I do suck it up to the fact that, you know, people just, I mean, they do like monsters. I mean, half of my movies I show on this podcast, I'm like, there's a monster in it. Did you see it? It's a good movie. But, like, in this, I think this movie would have that. But I think it's just missing too much of the story. We have the kid's story, but we have no monster story, like, period. We just have monsters showing up every 15 minutes to have lightning flash. Dracula does something to bring about another monster, really just to get the other four monsters together or whatever. And then it's just like, then she, I mean, so that's just my problem is you can't have a movie where your protagonists are the only interesting thing. The antagonist has to be interesting. It has to be. The bad guy is what makes every fucking movie. If you, the challenge has to be good. The goal has to be good. And it's not even a bad idea that they use like basically a MacGuffin for the, you know, the medallion, the shiny thingy. Which, you know how fucking anti-religious this movie is? This, the fucking kids wouldn't even get a fucking cross. It's like, if you know Dracula's real, wouldn't you be carrying around a cross?
And not just garlic pizza?
It's not just
there must pizza. Have been a shit ton of garlic on that pizza for how bad it burned.
Right? I was like, do you have to make Dracula eat it? Like, yeah. No, it's so delicious. But I don't know. There's just things about this movie that don't make sense to me. And I know, I mean, call it, it's a kid, but I don't think kids' movies are that fucking dumb. I don't think they're written that. Like, I like a lot of kids' movies, a lot of them, and they're not written that stupid. You know, that's when adults that are writing for kids, you know, that's when they're thinking like, you know, they're little kids. You don't want to use big words. Or if you do, have one of the characters, like, tell the audience what the word means. It's like Sesame Street or something. And I just think that belittle. We always talk about how children's animation and shit is good when they talk above the audience. That way the kid gets a little bit more intrigued and becomes smarter. Not like, mm-hmm. not talking down all the time to just, you know, whatever. So I think that's why this movie never did a lot for me. Just because I can feel how it's not really, it doesn't respect its audience. It's just, you know, you're dumb kids. We're just going to put a fat kid in it. Like the, just like the Goonies group, you know, you got to have a fat kid. You got to, you know, you always have to have the fat kid. Like, actually, that's what made Stranger Things. Like, I'm not going to ruin Stranger Things for you.
He wasn't fat there. Enough, though. For
it doesn't matter. He made the group. I was like, I don't buy this group until he, like, talked about it. I was like, I like this. Like, he's the heart of the group.
Which one?
The fat kid with the missing teeth.
He's not fat. I wouldn't consider him the fat kid.
But he's the fat kid.
Dustin is the best one.
Yeah.
He is, but Dustin's the best one.
But, like, I don't know. So, I just, I don't know. This movie just doesn't do anything for me. Not even with the monsters or anything, just because the monsters have nothing to do. They're almost like a non-part of the story in a weird way. Like, there could be no monsters in this. It could be just Dracula. It really doesn't matter, you know? So, I don't know. I don't like it. But that's my personal thing. So if you want to fight me, let's
write us in and we'll fight verbally.
No, verbally, nothing. We're going to duke this out. Oh, mano shit. E mano.
Colin's address is
2225
Mockingbird Lane.
And then next month, we'll all fight about the fucking remake Wolfman. Once and for all.
Coming
the
next
final
week.
Showdown.
That's like a big gang fight.
Oh, dude, we'll record that. Like, we won't even, it won't even be a review. It'll just be like versus. So, yeah, it's hard. Like, I guess I would recommend it because I think people would like this type of movie or they'd get a kick out of it, whatever. I personally just fucking don't give a shit about it. I've got Explorers.
There you go. I've never had a relationship with the Universal monsters, really. I missed back when they were popular earlier in the day. And then, I never really saw anything that would get me to get me interested in them. So this movie is
Have you watched any of the movies?
Of course not.
Right. What? Okay, just the ones right. You've showed me.
I know. So Evan Costello meet Frank. Gotcha.
But I have no
there you
interest
go, listener.
In that.
Just saying.
But I have no interest in it. Like, it's just, it didn't catch me. And if you were, I think, kind of in my same situation, you wouldn't either. Like, you were born at the right time. Like, that has a lot to do with it. It's what you grow up with. It's what you see first that, you know, kind of sticks with you and catches your interest. I never had that with these guys. It is kind of fun seeing them all together. I like when you get the super group together. You get all, you know, that's why the Avengers are cool, because you get everybody with their special abilities. Everybody comes together. But this movie, this one's a weird one, because something happened somewhere, and it feels like it's in the editing where something messed up. But this movie does, I think, exist in its best in just its scenes. Because it's got some, like, really good scenes and some good moments that I really enjoyed. But that's where it's all at. Like, as a whole, it's something else. It's a weird movie. But definitely in its scenes, like Colin or like Travis was saying, I think people would get a kick out of it for that. I don't think it makes a good whole movie, but I think there are small enough scenes and elements in this movie enough to be enjoyable, I think. I recommend it. I think people would get a kick out of this. I give it 2.5 out of 5. I have no – no, he stole my Nards. He stole my Nards. He stole my Nards.
No, you stole his rating system.
He stole
oh,
my Nards. So. I'm giving it to Dom
so,
Creed.
Yeah. I give it a pass.
So I actually do have a really like well-established relationship with the Universal Monsters. Like there's something I grew up with and they're very like near and dear to me. So I think that if you have that groundwork or if you saw this as a child, you would enjoy it. However, if you don't care about the Universal Monsters, you didn't see this as a child, there's nothing for you to connect to with this. I think that like all the things I found the most interesting, like had the shortest amount of screen time. Like if this, honestly, if this movie would have been just Rudy going around fucking shit up with monsters, I'm on board 100%. Like I think that all the best scenes or all the things that like the connective tissue for the plot were left on the cutting room floor, unfortunately. And I don't think you can hold Shane Black or Fred Decker responsible for that. That's a studio decision, I think. I think they probably saw dailies and were like, this isn't working, and kept trimming it down. So I feel like this is a victim of the studio system, if anything. I think it's definitely worth a watch, and it's fun, but don't go into it expecting it to be like a warm blanket of nostalgia, because if you don't connect to either the Universal Monsters or seeing this movie as a child originally, there's no nostalgia there for you, because it's so short as it is, and the plot is so like staccatoed that you're not going to connect to anything. I would give it like 2.5 out of 5 Adidas product placements.
There you go. I think the Monster Squad is just so fucking cool. I think that's like the primary overriding sensation I have with it.
But again, this cool.
He just wants to be in the Monster Squad.
Yeah, I want to be in the Monster Squad, right? Yeah. I mean, I want to be part of the Ghostbusters. I want to be in the Monster Squad. I think that was part of their advertising, right? What? You know who to call when you have ghosts. Who do you call when you have monsters?
Piggybacking on that.
Yeah, I definitely would have like rammed that down his throat earlier.
Yeah.
Mention one good movie to make you go see.
I think, you know, as a horror aficionado, you know, you dive deep and you go back and, you know, you discover the Universal horror monsters because this is the foundation of like the history of the genre that I love and the characters that I love. And so, you know, I've had a relationship with that mythology for,
I like how everybody keeps saying how they have personal relationship with the monsters. It's so funny,
but it is.
I know because they like it somehow because they existed.
We are that little girl in this movie,
you know, that long before you were around, you know, it's like, it feels like they've been there longer somehow. They're like, you know, I mean, I know that, like, you know, it's the same way that superheroes have, too. You know, it's like the idea of the Captain America has been around forever. Yeah.
It's like the closest thing America has to mythology. Like,
it is. Our superheroes and monsters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's ours.
Yeah. They're
and ancient then Greek gods. I like the idea of the team up. I like the idea of, you know, you're seeing and, you know, someone trying to redesign them for, you know, it's not like they're updating them for the modern day. They're just using modern day technology from the 80s to do like what I assume those guys thought, like, I'm going to put my personal stamp on these creatures. We were talking earlier, like everybody else has model kits and toys and all that. And I don't know that there is like a licensing arrangement for the Monster Squad. Maybe there is. Maybe there's Monster Squad. You know, that you're saying when there's Wolfman Got Nards t-shirts and Stephen King Rules t-shirts, but are there actually like those Stan Winston designs? Can you collect them?
Not that I've ever seen. I've been looking at horror toys for the past like 10, 15 years.
And that oversight then, if that's the case, is why in this day and age and market, this movie isn't connecting with a newer audience because they're not going to the conventions and seeing, you know, all the Monster Squad memorabilia. So the only way that you can see it is like if you remember seeing this in the 80s, you've grown up with it and now you love it. And, you know, if you show it to, you know, someone, your kids or whatever, who don't have the same experiences and, you know, it's not going to connect in the same way. I mean, I agree that like the story plot of this movie is I think it suffers attention deficit disorder. You know, it's like we have to basically it's very threadbare. The characterizations are very threadbare. But in spite of that, and again, this is probably fueled by nostalgia, the scenes that work in this movie, like, work really well for me. You know, I mean, like, they pack, like, even tonight watching them is like, they have, like, this charge because I think, like, they're done with a professionalism, I guess, that, and I think a reverence also for the characters. It, you know, the other time I saw the monster mashup was Van Helsing, right? Where they got all the Universal monsters together. And that movie just like spiraled into this. I mean, it had like a budget and it was able to do all this stuff. And it just like, you know, it started out kind of promising and like there are moments in there, but then it just like falls apart and spirals into this gigantic turd toward the end. There's moments that I like in Van Helsing, but, and maybe I would have liked that if I was 10 years old, you know, I don't know. But I think this was my monster team up, you know, in color, you know, because the old ones were all black and white. And I enjoy the performances. I like the kids. I like the monsters aside from the only one I really don't like is Dracula, which is the one you have to like because he's the only articulate monster who's like, you know, directing the action. But that wouldn't be my Dracula. But, you know. Whatever, you know.
That's the name of my band is "That's My Dracula."
That's my Dracula.
That's a good sitcom. From yeah. The 50s.
Yeah. So it's not.
But what did I do
again? Oh. I told you, no garlic on the pizza. Oh.
Yeah, it's not a very sharply written movie. It's cool to go back and look at it. I think is like as a piece of film history. Just you know, knowing. Well, at least Shane Black and where he went and, you know, seeing the collaboration of like, you know, I mean, if you follow the special effects, you know, both on the makeup side and on the visual effects side, you know, Richard Edlund did the visual effects. So this is like the guy who did Ghostbusters and Back to the Future and all that, you know, you can tell because it's his 80s fucking vortex. I love that fucking 80s vortex. And the 80s, you know, lightning, you know, whatever the strike and stuff.
Yeah.
That's all, you know, Richard Edlund's visual style. So, I mean, that kind of stuff I love. And so, you know, I mean, that's why I love the Monster Squad. Would I recommend it to you? I think if you're a fan of Stranger Things, which is a, you know, as we're recording this, a cultural phenomenon, at least in the United States, and it's a kind of a kid's adventure or boy's adventure movie, it inspired me to actually go back and rewatch the Monster Squad and Super 8 and E.T. And, you know, I mean, I know Goonies is obviously like, I haven't ever crossed paths with that movie. You going to bring it to the freak show?
Yeah, we're the freak show.
Yeah.
You won't like it.
That has not stopped most of us before. Yeah.
So I guess that was Stranger Things was what inspired me to go back to the Monster Squad thinking like this is one of those similar kind of, you know, things. And I think time is kind of, maybe not been kind to it, but it is, I think, still a lot of fun. And I think there are still like a lot of fans out there that appreciate it. And, you know, it's just cool. It is cool to be part of the Monsters, to be in the goddamn club.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there you go. That's the Monster Squad. So next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show, Travis is going to be picking the movie. Travis, what are we going to be watching next week?
We're going to watch Dude Bro Party Massacre Part 3. Let me repeat that for you. Dude Bro Party Massacre Part 3.
Don't worry. There is no Dude Bro Party Massacre 1 or 2.
No. It's like
you don't have to get caught
up. It's like
an
airplane horror movie. It's like a horror genre, like airplane type
with
of comedy.
With
Patton Oswalt and a bunch of like internet like dudes.
All right.
Yeah.
He's the only star. The rest of the guys are like that's YouTube fine. People.
Did he write or just act?
Just act, I think. Ooh, okay. I think it's these other guys. Right. So, but yeah. It looks like a lot of fun. Earlier we watched Sorority or Slumber Party Massacre.
That's what I was going to say.
Part 2.
That's
like
the
real life.
So this is kind of the parody of it, where a bunch of guys get together and have a party in their underwear.
Wonderful.
And then they get attacked by Motherface.
Oh, yeah, Motherface.
Motherface.
Trailer,
that's
right.
Brilliant.
All right, so that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show, Fiends. And until then, the basement is going dark.